Good morning and praise the Lord.
Good morning.
Let us open our Bibles and read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Let us now give thanks to God for all the blessings we receive from him. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in your presence with a thankful heart. Lord, thank you that you died on the cross for our sins to give us eternal life. And thank you for the good example that you showed us and set before us. Lord, thank you for all your goodness, your faithfulness, and your loving kindness to us. Thank you, Lord, for endless love that you gave us to fear you, to trust you, to rely only on you, and to see your power in our lives. Thank you, Lord, that you taught us to enter the narrow gate and to continue to go and walk in the narrow way that you ordained for us to walk through. Lord, we thank you for opening our eyes to see the beauty of your holiness, for the discipline, for your blood that shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, for the provision, for the rebukes through your word, for all answered prayers, and for every trial that we pass through. Lord, we thank you for the whole week you sustained us, for the miracles and wonders that you did, for our food, the good health, the strength, answered prayers, and for the healing, Lord. We magnify you and we exalt you in our midst in the name of Jesus. Let us now confess our sins to God. Lord, we confess our sins and renounce them. Lord, cleanse us by your blood. Lord, we repent and renounce our stubbornness, greediness, the love of money, the lust of the eyes, our worldliness, pride, self-righteousness, selfishness, and anger. We commit once again into your hand to please you and honor you in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our personal petitions and requests. Lord, we trust you and rely only on you, that as we obey you and honor you in our lives in doing what you want us to do, then you will fulfill your promises to us and prove that your word is true, in Jesus' name. Let us now pray for our families. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for your children. Pray for your parents and pray for your siblings. Lord, we pray that every family will shine so others will start to seek you and obey you by their good example and deeds. We pray to protect each family and provide their needs. We pray for every husband to give them wisdom how to execute your plan and will to their families. We pray for good health, strength, stable job and income to sustain their families. We pray for the wives to be submissive to their godly husbands and to help them in their lives and ministries. We pray for the parents to be of one mind, to honor you by disciplining their children and to impart to them your word. Lord, we pray for the children to fear you and obey their godly parents and honor them so they will prosper and live a long life, for this is your command to them. Lord, we pray also that you will aid and support all the single mothers and provides all their needs. Lord, we pray for the salvation of all the family's members who are unsaved. Let us now pray for our jobs. Pray for your boss and your colleague to be saved. Lord, we praise you and thank you for our jobs, a source of living to sustain us. Lord, we commit ourselves once again to obey our earthly masters to fulfill your word. Lord, we pray to bless the places that we are working. Lord, give them more businesses and incomes so we can receive our salaries on time. Lord, use our jobs to train us more to be more like you in characters and for the people will see you in our lives. Lord, help us that our light shine before the people who are working with us, that they may see our good works and glorify you, God, our Father in heaven. We pray that through our lives we'll teach people around us to be honest, diligent, to work hard to obey, and be submissive to our earthly master. Lord, we pray for the salvation of all those people around us in our working places, in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need. Lord, we pray that you will help them in the trials that they are passing through in their lives. Lord, reveal to them the things that they need to do. Lord, help them to obey you to serve you and to do their part unto you, so that you will help them by taking them out from the troubles that they are passing through. Lord, we pray to heal the sick, to give jobs to those jobless, and wisdom to those who need solutions for their problems. Let us now pray for our neighbors, colleagues, relatives, the people back home in our countries, and those whom we are meeting in the streets, in the market, in our accommodation, and in our working places to be saved. Lord, we ask you to be with us in every preaching of your word to them. Lord, put in our mouth the tactful way from your word to evangelize, to teach, and to admonish them. Lord, open their hearts and minds to believe in you and to obey your word that we are giving to them in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for UAE and the extension of the church in other countries in Oman, Kuwait, Iraq, Pakistan, India, Philippines, Sri Lanka, Indonesia, Armenia, America, Sierra Leone, and Malawi. Lord, we praise you and thank you for all the places that you allow the church to expand. Lord, we pray for the salvation of the people in all those countries. We pray to bless those countries so we also will be blessed. Lord, we commit ourselves to obey their rules and regulations. Lord, protect all the church congregations and workers and empower us with the Holy Spirit to reach new people, to preach the gospel to them. Lord, bring them at your feet and teach them to live according to your laws and precepts. Lord, put always in their heart to fear you and to rely only on you in every circumstance, knowing you will hear them once they seek you. Lord, speak and reveal yourself to them in vision and dreams. Answer their prayers and do miracles in Jesus' name, so they will believe in you. Let us now pray for the church and for all the ministries of the church. Pray for more evangelism, more Bible study groups, and more congregations to be planted. Pray for more people to get water baptized and more workers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray and commit yourself to serve God. Lord, we pray to bless and spread your congregations in other places in the world. Lord, bless the evangelism ministry, the church school, church banking, church clinic, farming ministry, watchmen ministry, the publication, children and youth under their parents, wives under their husbands, the translation ministry, and the website. Lord, fulfill the vision of the church, multiplication in peace with implementing the whole will of God. Lord, empower your church to be the light to teach the way of yours to the lost souls. Lord, we pray that your church will be a novel vessel to bring the salvation of Jesus to the world. Lord, we commit ourselves to go and evangelize to the new places that you are leading us to go. We pray for more souls to be saved in the name of Jesus. Let us now pray for our worship service today. Lord, anoint us and refill us once again with the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us humble heart to obey you and to follow you more and to do always your very will in our lives. Lord, bless our prayers. are songs that we will sing. Bless our giving and bless your message today to us to apply in our lives. Lord, anoint the speaker and speak to us by your word that we may apply in our lives, that our lives will be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto your throne. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us now stand and worship the Lord and sing praises unto him.
How great thou art, how great thou art. have created everything, O Lord God, and everything had come to exist for us, O Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We bless you and magnify your holy name. Hallelujah. You are our strength. You are our portion. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given your very own life. You have displayed to us how to live here on earth. Hallelujah. Whom have I in heaven but you, O Lord? No one, you alone. That we don't know where to go or what to do. You are always there, O God, showing us a way. Make your way, O Lord God. Show us, O Lord God, the water in the desert. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Make our way.
perfect ways. Let it be done, let it be so, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let us collect our tithes and offerings and first fruits. Open your Bibles in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy praises shall burst out with new wine. Let us pray. Our loving and merciful God, as we bring our tithes and offering and first fruits before you, bless, Lord, and use this money to enlarge your congregation and to reach new people, new souls, O Lord. Bless my brethren as they are faithful in giving what is due to you. Open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there's no enough room to receive it. And we rebuke the pestilence in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Good morning. We sing this. We sing this song. Have your way, and we also say, "Speak your words into our heart." But if God will speak His word, are we willing to obey? That is the challenge for us today. The future of our children is in our hands. Amen. We will continue part four, and we will go back to the family of Isaac and Rebekah. After what Rebekah did and Jacob did, and after Jacob was sent to Haran, the question here is, the following: did Isaac really needed to send Jacob alone to Laban? It might be difficult to give an adequate answer for this, but for me, if I am in his place, I will not send him, I will not send Jacob. Was it safe to send Jacob alone? Not at all. Not at all. It was a dangerous journey that Jacob had taken and suffered a lot in it. Not only the hardship of life, but he was exposed to other kinds of temptations and sins. If he had stayed in his father's house, he would not be exposed to and fall in. The situation in that family, it looked like a confusion. Looked like a certain situation of confusion that the family was passing through, and the thing was not clear because there was sin. And the mother was not willing to repent, and the father either did not know what he needed to do, or was confused, or was pressurized by his wife, as many men are pressurized by their wives. Let us read now the opinion of Abraham about this situation. The question here, was Isaac needed to send Jacob to Haran? Was he needed to send him alone? Let us read the opinion of Father Abraham. Let's read, when Abraham wanted to arrange for the marriage of his son Isaac, what he instructed his servants to do. Let's open our Bible to the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Genesis 24 and verse 1 to 6. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that rule over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I need to bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou comest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou will bring not my son thither again. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. We praise you, we magnify you, we adore you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, speak your word into our heart and have your way, O God, in the name of Jesus. I pray for the conviction of the Holy Spirit on your people to repent of their wrongdoing, their own understanding, and doing things contradict the scriptures and the teaching of yours. I pray, anoint my lips. Oh God, let your name be magnified. Let your word be clear, oh God, and guide us and direct us. Deliver your families and your people from wrong advices and wrong decisions and wrong ways of life. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wrote this message, I think, 3 to 4 months ago. God inspired me to write this message. Abraham refused his servant to take his son with him when he go to find a wife for him. Abraham made it a red light that he should not take his son back there when he say, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. You will ask why? Why Abraham say like that? Because Abraham was aware of the dangers of that place and the dangers of sending his son to stay and live there, because he knew what his family will do and how they will deal with his son. I'll give you an example of what had happened to the journey of that servant that Abraham sent. When he reached there, he opened the situation to them and he told them what for he came for, and he asked him that he was sent to get a wife for Isaac. You know, they told him when they hear the story, when they answer him, they told him, Rebecca is before thee. Take her and go. Okay? But the second day, if we read after the second day, they want him to stay there at least 10 days. And they wanted to hinder him from going back. Let's read. Let's read verse 50 to verse 58. Verse 50 to verse 58 from the same book. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant hear their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Listen here, let them themselves abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. You know, if they did like this with the servant of Abraham, and that man was a very strong man, you know what he did to them? He put them at the corner. He told them, I am going back. He did not let them go as they were. No, he said, I am going back. They were forced to call the girl and ask her if she wanted to go with him or no. And they were forced, and they give the girl. Now, the question here, what they will do with Jacob if he will go alone? Just imagine such kind of people, what they will do with Jacob if he will go there, and who will receive him? Laban. And especially if Jacob will tell him that he ran away and his brother is after him, will he not take advantage of him or no? Will he not slay him and put him in trouble or no? You know, people, they say about me, why he is afraid? Why he is strict? Why he is not allowing? Because I know the scriptures, and I know the dangers of breaking the principles of the scriptures, and I teach you today, so your children will be in a safe atmosphere and will be protected and have a blessed future. That's why God gave us His Word to teach us. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us. And that's why God gave His church teachers to teach us. And that's why I am teaching you today, so that your children will be protected and they will not be in the trouble. Jacob was sent to a wrong place. Listen to this. Jacob was sent to a dangerous people. Isaac, listen here. Isaac knew what Abraham had said and told his son Jacob not to marry from the people of Canaan. Correct? So that means Isaac knew also that Abraham did not allow him to go there, but he knew it also, so he should not allow Jacob to go there. Isaac sent Jacob to a dangerous place. He needed to be aware and should not break God's principle and the teaching that God gave through Abraham. Listen here, every time you break the principle of God's word, you expect the troubles and not the blessings to come into your life. Listen, when you know the principle, then don't bend to people and let them force you to break that principle and bring the troubles into your life and in the life of your family. What Isaac did in sending Jacob to Haran was a fatal mistake. He had crossed the red line. That is a fatal mistake, and that had caused much trouble, and he should not do that. Especially Jacob was sent alone. We pray to God. We pray to God according to Matthew 6:13. Can we read Matthew 6:13? Matthew 6:13, we pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We should not lead our children to the path that lead them to temptations and cause them to fall into troubles of sin. Do not be worldly and think about worldly things, but be holy and think about holy things, the worldly things that will cause our children to fall into sin. We need to reject and spare our children the suffering of the consequences of sins. If anything you get to your children and cause them to sin, it is not the will of God for them to have it. You know, if somebody, or if you ask Rebecca, and we ask her that time about her son, she may say it in this way, the same way you are speaking to cover up your wrongdoing, as you are not willing to repent. If they will ask her about her son, how she will say it? I will give you a scenario. We sent him to Haran, to Padan Aram, Mesopotamia, to my brother. He will work there. Anyway, what he was doing here in the house under his father, he was not receiving salary. Now he can work and he can receive salary. At least there they are living in houses. We are here living in tents, and he can also marry there. But she will not say, why he left suddenly, and why she is, and she is not aware about the suffering that he was passing through and the sin that he was in. In the same style, the non-repented people will speak, "Where is your son?" "He is in San Francisco, USA. "Where is your daughter?" "She is in Toronto, Canada. "Where is your boy?" "He is in Sydney, Australia. "Where is your girl?" "She is in UK, in Haran, in Padan Aram, Mesopotamia." And etc. And will not mention the suffering that they are passing through, and the sin that they are living in, having boyfriend, living with a man, become a single mother, etc. My brethren, I did not find in the Bible godly family has sent her children away, except they were sent away at God's punishment for sin. If you did not hear such teaching before, then receive it gladly for your own benefit, and do not persecute me if God has revealed it to me. I did not find in the Bible a godly family have sent her children away far from them. Speak your word, O God. What we can ask now? Was Jacob needed to go there? My answer, no need. No need. Why and how? Let me explain to you. His reason of going there was that he needed to go away from his brother Esau. Correct? Okay. Who wanted to kill him? But this was linked only in one condition, which is with the death of his father. Esau was waiting for the death of his father to kill Jacob, as we read in Genesis 27 verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him, and Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. Therefore, since his father was alive, then he was safe, and no need for him to go away from the family. Isaac lived 43 years from the date of that incident, even 20 years when Jacob came back. Isaac was alive and witnessed even the loss of Joseph, and he lived after the loss of Joseph 12 years. So here, we don't break a spiritual principle expecting to receive the blessings from God without troubles. Jacob was sent to suffer because of sin and because of confusion, leading them to make wrong choices and wrong decisions. Isaac could send a servant of his and would follow what his father Abraham did, and the problem will be solved. It was a mistake to Isaac to send Jacob to Haran. To tell you the truth, listen to this, to tell you the truth, Haran was more dangerous on Jacob than the dangers that he would receive from his brother Esau. If Jacob needed to face Esau at that time, let him face, because that was his own wrongdoing. And to bear it in following the sinful advices of his mother, and he knew she was wrong. If you have taken wrong decision and sent your children to dangerous places, then I wish you can take them back and put them away far from dangers. And this is my advice to you. In many places, listen to this, in many places in the Bible narrates what had happened. And sometimes God gives his opinion and will tell you if that was correct or no. But in other times, the Bible will not give opinion. So when you read and meditate, you need to discern what is going on. How you will discover that, whether that's wrong or right, by comparing the event that had happened with what the scriptures teach. And so you can see clearly. We had started and spoke about the suffering of Jacob after he was pushed by his mother to sin, and how he suffered in his life for the wrongdoings that he did to his father and caused him to leave the house of his father. We spoke previously about the suffering of hard work and bad circumstances. There are other sufferings, and let us go back and read Genesis chapter 31. Genesis chapter 31 and verse 36 to verse 42. And Jacob was wroth and showed with Laban after Laban overtook him, and he came to bring back his two daughters and the children. And he was, after he was searching the tents to find his idols that Rachel had taken away, Jacob spoke. But when he spoke, we can see from it where was his suffering, what he was passing through. And that's what our children will pass through when we throw them away. And Jacob was wroth and showed with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This is 20 years have I been with thee. The ewes and thy she-goat have not cast their young, and the rams of thy of thy flesh have I not eaten. That which was done of beast I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. This I was in the day that drought consumed me, and the forest by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. We spoke about that. Thus I have been 20 years in thy house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters, and 6 years of thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 years, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac, had been with me. Surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands, and rebuked thee yesterday night. Configure now in your mind what other sufferings that Jacob had passed this week. Polygamy. Jacob went into polygamy and wrong choices in marriage and sexual immoralities. Jacob, his father, sent him to marry one wife, as we read in Genesis 28, verse 2. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence, of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brothers. But he ended up in 4 wives. Why Isaac did not need to send him there? Because he was still needed to be guided and protected from the enemy, who took advantage from Jacob because he was sent alone. He was 77 years old, but still he needed to be guided by his father. What happened to Jacob? Jacob, when he went there, he first wanted to marry Rachel, which was not God's choice for him. He was entrapped by his wrong choice. He was cheated by his uncle, Laban, as he did to his father. Laban gave him Leah, who was God's choice as a wife for him, but he was not able to see that because there is no one to guide him. He was 84 years old when he married Leah, but he was not able to decide correctly. And so in 1 week after one week, he married Rachel, her sister, after her as a second wife, and he fell into polygamy and sexual immoralities, and insist and continue in that situation. And further, he married Bilhah, and he married Zilpha, the handmaid of his two wives. That is the suffering of Jacob. Harassment with sexual immorality. He was harassed with demons. You can see how the future of our children is in our hands, and we should not send them far away from us, and that we should not do wrong and cause them to go away from us, nor give them the freedom to do important things, that they may fail to do it in the right way and fall into troubles, as had happened here with Jacob, who fell in the hand of his own uncle, who did not have the mind of Christ, and caused Jacob to fall into such sin of sexual immorality in doing polygamy. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 to 20. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them a member of an harlot? God forbid. What But know ye not that he which is joined on harlot is one body? For two says he shall be one flesh, but he that is joined into the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. To keep our children pure until marriage is our responsibility as parents, and we need to guide them to marry God's choice for them, and not to allow them to be under people like Laban, who would cause havoc in their lives. Sinning against the bodies by sexual immoralities is opening the part of their bodies to demons and not to God. The future of our children, the future of your children is in your hand, and you need to fear God and follow his instruction. So such what has happened to Jacob would not happen to you. When Jacob came back from Haran, his brother Esau asked him. He met him and asked him, who were those women and children with him? Genesis chapter 33, verse 5. Genesis chapter 33, verse 5. And he lifted up his eyes, thus Esau, and saw the woman and the children, and said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Jacob answered him about the children. The children which God hath graciously given thy servant. But Jacob spoke nothing about the woman that he had four wives. He closed his mouth. He kept silent. Can he say to you so about the four women with him, the wives which God hath graciously given thy servant? Can he say that? No, he cannot say. No, he cannot say. You know it's wrong. You know it is sin. And beside that, Esau knew when Isaac sent Jacob, he told him the following. In Genesis chapter 28, verse 2, arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thy wife from thence, of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Isaac told him to take thee a wife, and Esau knew that, but Jacob made them four. That was why he was ashamed to answer and to declare that they were his four wives. And that's why when Moses came, at once God told him to write down about that sin that Jacob did in book of Leviticus chapter 18, verse 18. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister, to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. He asked Moses to write this because Jacob did that. And God does not want the Israelites to do the same. listen, what they will say, how and how they will speak. They will say, my son, you are old enough to decide for yourself. My daughter, you are old enough to decide for yourself. And they will say, she is old enough to decide for herself. He is old enough to decide for himself. But sorry, I did not find such things in the Bible. What is in the Bible? What is in the Bible is that when, I'll give you an example, when Moses asked God to put leader instead of him, God appointed Joshua to be instead of Moses to be the leader. And Joshua at that time, his age was around 100 to 105. That's his age. That was his age. But even with that age, God said about Joshua, he cannot decide for himself. How he need to decide? He need to go to Eleazar the priest and stand before the priest to decide for him. Book of Numbers, chapter 27. Book of Numbers, chapter 27, verse 21. It says, and he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. At his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. That is what God say about Joshua. And there are people, they say, you don't need to ask the pastor. You can decide for yourself. Such people, they put others into troubles. What do I find in the Bible? I find in the Bible also, I find Jacob, when he was 84 years old, but he was too young to decide for himself. Why? Jacob in 1 week, he did not only marry two women, he married two sisters, polygamy, adultery, and incest. And that's why when Moses came, God told him write this in Leviticus 18, verse 18. Never ever say to your son or daughter, you are old enough to decide for yourself. Or he is old enough to decide for himself. Or she is old enough to decide for himself. Why? Because that is not in the Bible. What I mean, me and you, we might be able to stand temptations and protect ourselves, but our children, they cannot. And that's why we should not send them to or throw them to wrong places with people like Laban, who have no mind of Christ, and put them in the troubles. That is the word that God gave us. I wrote this message 4 months ago, and that is the day that God ordained it. Repent, behave, stop sinning against God. Renew your mind. Don't break the principles of scriptures and expect a blessing, but expect the troubles. Don't give freedom to your children, because that they will lead them to sexual immoralities, to sin. Boyfriend, girlfriend, live in, become single mother or single father, or they are single parents, but they marry not the father or the mother of her or his child or children. Time for us to come back to God to repentance. not to do our own. Let's ask that. So is that. Repent of your sin. Renounce your sin. Learn from the Bible. Fear God. And I pray for the fear of yours. Upon your church and upon your people to repent. Make a way, O God. Give, O God, a new heart, a new spirit. Create a clean heart and renew the Holy Spirit inside us. Cleanse us, cleanse your church from worldliness, worldly things, wrong advices. God, please. My heart is full of pain and my heart full of tears. As I wrote your word. Oh God, please do something. Do something, oh God. Their children, oh God, who throw their responsibility and throw their children in the wrong places with the wrong people. Deal with them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, help us to continue to serve you, oh Lord, to continue to do what is right and correct, oh God. Help me to stand firm, oh God. Protect me from all persecution and the pressure of wicked people against your word and against your will. Oh God, help me, oh God. Help your church and be with us to continue to serve you. Oh God, bless us. Enlarge our territory and be with us. And keep us from harm so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen.